Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Michael's back. Michael's back. Oh, you know what time it is, right? It is time for the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. Hi, Michael. How's my son doing?
Well, hello. I'm fantastic.
Now.
How are you?
I'm doing well, son. I'm doing well. Okay. So, you know, I caught that little flu from your nieces and nephew.
Something's going around.
It is going around for real. It's in schools. It's, you know, I mean, I've been hearing from people all over that are just going, oh, my gosh, the stomach flu. No fun. Lasted about 3 days. I'm so glad that's over with. It is not pretty.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't care how much you can put lipstick on that, and it still ain't pretty. It's not pretty.
So it isn't here in L.A. right now, though. I mean, I'm not seeing that go around. We have, like, a weird sinus infection going around, a basic cold going around, obviously COVID. But I'm not hearing about that weird short-lived, yet very unpleasant, as you mentioned, stomach flu happening here. So I'm glad it has not crossed over to the West Coast quite yet.
Right. It's really quite remarkable. But I am doing great. I'm over it. Thank goodness.
Great.
Hey, Michael, I've been meaning to ask you, you know, you still go out a lot to different restaurants. You like new restaurants to see if it's as good as people say it is and blah, blah, blah. Are you trying new food fair, or are you sticking with what you love, like steaks and that sort of thing?
I mean, my whole thing is, if I'm going to try a new restaurant, I want to try what is best there, what is suggested. Like you
really,
have
so,
food allergies.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, if it's a starfish, you would try it?
No, I
just want to know.
Starfish. I don't know what he said, but I have definitely tried some rather adventurous food. I mean, that's kind of the whole experience of going out to a new restaurant, whether it be in Minneapolis or here in Los Angeles, is trying something new and interesting and checking it out, you know, seeing how it's prepared and foods that, you know, I might be allergic to, maybe not, but I'm usually there for it. I mean, yes, there's obviously, you know, a great aged steak or really good sushi are my go-tos, but even in that realm, I might try something that I maybe haven't had before. So, if one is not going to be adventurous at a new restaurant, what's the point? If it's a new restaurant, it's a new experience, try it, go for it, see how it goes.
But a new experience to you is like the decor and the service and the location, because you usually get the same thing. When was the last time you had something really interesting that you've never tried before?
I do. I just, you know, I read the ingredients and see what is going to work and then with my body. So really, it's not because I'm not adventurous. I definitely am quite the opposite. It's more just, am I going to break out from this new thing that I'm not used to? And a lot of the more intriguing, you know, new food options that are out there are fruit-based or have some sort of, you know, mix of flavors that are a bit more exotic. I'm usually allergic to those, so I usually have to avoid those. But I'm all for like a squid ink pasta with uni on top. I mean, I will dive into that with ease. So yes, I do feel like a new restaurant is primarily the decor, the experience, the theming, the cool factor of the restaurant, but of course also the new food experience that one gets to have. In fact, just this afternoon, I had an early dinner at an Italian restaurant here in Los Angeles called Terra, which is a rooftop restaurant at Eataly, which is an Italian marketplace, if you will. And then on top, they have this wonderful restaurant there that's outside. And we just sat by the bar, which, by the way, was one of those places. We walked in at 5 p.m. The dinner literally starts at 5 p.m. There were maybe six other people in the restaurant on the rooftop. And we said, hey, we don't have a reservation. Can you seat us for two to get, you know, just a dinner? And she goes, oh, sorry, we are taking walk-ins right now, but you can put your name on the list to wait to sit at the bar. And she was so rude. It was one of those classic L.A. moments. She was like, oh, no, we are taking walk-ins.
Do they hire people like that? I mean, do they go looking for people like that?
Yes. I feel like there's a test you have to pass where it's like, how snooty can you be? And she was so rude about it. And she was just like, oh, no. And mind you, the place is empty. It's 5 p.m. No one's in there. If they are, they're at the bar. There's a couple people, you know, who are at like the early bird special. No one is at this restaurant. And apparently she's feigning as if they're just wall-to-wall packed. And she goes, oh, I can take your name for the list. And I'm like, okay, sure. And she says, what's your number? I give her my number. And, of course, my name pops up in the system because I have been to this restaurant many times. She goes, oh, Michael? I go, yeah. Like, yes, lady.
Did you say I mean, yeah? Wait for it. Did you say yeah? Did you?
I was nicer than that. I said,
oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You used to talk about high school friends that would do that here in Minnesota. Come on. Yeah. Really?
No, but I'm just like, it. You know, of course, she realizes my name is in the system, that I have spent some money there in the past. So we wait for all of 3 minutes, and then she comes over. She's like, oh, there's two seats in the bar if you want to sit down. Yeah, I can't get a hold of anyone else. We're like, thanks. You're so nice. So we go to the bar, and we order all of our food, and we have broccolini and tuna and all these amazing dishes. And I mentioned the story to say that our dessert was a gelato cart. A woman comes over with a cart on wheels with an enormous bowl of gelato, like a 12-inch tall pile of gelato, and all the toppings are right there.
Oh, my gosh.
You buy what toppings you want. And they scoop it into a bowl for you and put the toppings on fresh, and they hand you this freshly made gelato. It is so delicious. It's just fantastic. And then there's the Italian way of doing it, which is gelato with olive oil and I think is it vinegar? I tried that for the first time with the olive oil a few months ago, and that is delicious. So yeah, I'm down to try new flavor profiles. Yeah, gelato with olive oil on top. It is really, really wonderful. I think a tad bit of salt. But I tell you, an hour into our bar side dinner, yeah. I'm looking around. There's still like 20 tables open, and I'm like, oh, you're so busy. You're so busy. Here. You couldn't have had us. Oh, you're just packed wall to wall. Yep. 6:30 rolls around. They're still barely anyway. I kind of made fun of them a little bit. I'm like, come on, people. What are you doing?
Hey, did you know that I'm coming to see you? Did you know I'm coming to see you, Michael, like in about a week? Because I, you know, I got a phone call that I need to come, you know, like pull your nose down because your nose is all up in the air. I'm trying to figure out what happened to my son. Can you go get my son?
I'm trying to find if there's some sort of YouTube meme or YouTube phrase out there from some movie that says, you know, do you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? And just start playing that during this segment because that had a whole lot of that stuff in it.
What happens to you?
The thing is, these restaurants are so egregiously expensive, and there are when you go to them more than once and you show up at a place and you're dressed the part. Everything fits. Everything matches. Like for all reason, they should let you in, and then they just. for no reason, pretend as if they can't seat you when clearly they would, because you have gone there many times before. You just blame the person at the front desk. They're being LA. They're being ridiculous. So it's not so much that I have become snooty. It's that the snootiness I'm receiving seems so wildly out of place that I just find it hilarious. And I'm like,
it's but you
like,
knew that you knew that LA was this way. We talked about it when we moved there.
Sure, but.
Remember the sushi place we used to go to on Ventura, I think it was?
Oh,
we used to go to this sushi place, Asanabo, and we thought, oh, man, great sushi, until we found out it wasn't.
Well, I mean, it is really good there. It's just very expensive.
Oh, no, that's not the place then. This place wasn't expensive. It wasn't too far from where we lived. Yeah, Sushi Dan. Sushi Dan. Lieutenant Dan bought a sushi joint.
Wait, wait, time out, time out. There's a place called Sushi Dan.
It's called Sushi Dan. And we order it on Postmates all the time. It's like sushi that won't make you sick, but isn't great. But it's like just affordable enough where you can order it on Postmates. I have Sushi Dan. I should have stock in that company. It's a chain sushi joint here in LA, and I've ordered
a chain sushi joint. Okay, really?
I don't know what would be worse: having sushi that makes you sick, or having sushi that isn't good but doesn't make you sick. I'm like, go all the way, man. Either you have great sushi, or you have sushi that makes you go to the porcelain gods.
Pocketbook. During the pandemic, it was like, what can we eat?
You're talking about your pocketbook? Oh, my
exactly.
God.
Like, where can we order, you know, decent sushi during the pandemic that's not going to make us ill? And it was Sushi Dan. That was the spot.
Well, the day you get a piece of sushi and it starts moving, tell me about it.
You know, some places you can actually order that. Speaking of adventurous food, there are sushi restaurants. A couple here in America and several in Japan where you can order something and it still moves. And if you remember, I went to that super, you want to talk about snooty, super high-end, ultra-exclusive sushi restaurant on Rodeo Drive.
You went there.
With a secret door.
You went there?
Yes.
With a secret door.
There.
You went there.
This was years ago. Joey and I went there. And it only seats 10 people. And the reservation list is like 6 months long. And there's two waitresses that work there, and they attend to the 10 people there. There's
servers. Do they call them waitresses?
Omakase. Well, you're right, servers. It's all omakase that, you know, the chef makes whatever he wants. And several of the seats are at the bar, and the chef is in front of you. And he literally is taking the prawn out of the tank, cutting it up in front of you, and it's served to you directly, and it's still kind of moving by the time you're eating it off your plate, because it's that fresh, and it was flown in from Japan that morning. You can have sushi that is still moving because it's so fresh, and it was the best sushi I've ever had in my entire life.
You know that they have all of that prawn just wiggling back there at, you know, Sushi Dan. Sushi Dan, the same thing happens. You know, they just don't tell you. They don't tell you. They're not going to tell you what's up. Yeah.
Maybe.
Come on, Michael. We ran into some awful places in L.A., and then we ran into some really incredible restaurants in L.A. And so,
we have amazing
wow.
places here, yeah.
Yeah, you really do, and it keeps growing. There's more and more and more of them. People have to eat.
Yeah, I mean, that's not why they're opening. They're opening to take all of our money because they're all so expensive. But you know what? I will say, I have gotten to the point, there is one restaurant here that you have been to before, where if one of my friends tries to make a reservation online, they're booked. But if I call, they'll let me in.
Okay, hold on. Hold on to that story. Hold on, because we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 10:25 here at WCCO. Welcome back. So great to have you join us on a Sunday night. You bring me joy. You absolutely do. So thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. Of course, Jonathan, I love working with you, and we've had a great time. And of course, you've been hearing all these stories over the years from Michael in LA about the places where that he goes to eat or what have you. And many times you and I have kind of went, wow, years ago I used to say to you, would you go to that place? And would you say now, listening about this Italian restaurant and the gelato and all of that, would you say, yes, I would go there for sure?
It'd be interesting to try the gelato. I would be intrigued. I don't, the vinegar doesn't sound appealing to me, but what is it supposed to do? Make it like more airy and light?
The vinegar and the oil.
It's on top. It's the olive oil and just a tad bit of balsamic vinegar on top, and it really brings out the
balsamic
flavor. Balsamic.
Okay.
Gelato.
Balsamic is.
It's sweeter. Yeah.
I've eaten some things with balsamic, and I can see that. Okay. I thought you meant like apple cider or some other type of vinegar to just pour it on top. Just get.
Would you like some apple cider? Vinegar gelato? Would you like that? No, I would not like to burn my insides for dessert. Thank you so much.
I would think the olive oil would be intriguing. It's just so smooth. I would think that would fit in nicely.
It was delicious.
It really
Mom,
was.
You need to come back here. I want to take you to all these places to try all of these things that are so delicious and amazing. And, you know, and I just want you to experience the new places in L.A. that are so chic and wonderful. And you make fun of me sometimes, but I like all these things. But the truth is that you raised me this way. Because you started taking me to the coolest restaurants in the Twin Cities since I was very young. And I got very used to it. And I love doing it. I love experiencing all the new food. And you introduced me to sushi. And so, yeah, this is something you love, too. And I love doing this with you. When we get to do so either in the Twin Cities or here in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, I know we have to take a break in a minute, Michael, but I know when we come back from the break after weather and that sort of thing, we're going to talk about the Magic Castle, which you have been a member of for how many years?
Since 2004. So 18 years.
Since you moved there. That's right. Oh, my gosh. 18 years and you were 18 when we got there. And you became a member at the age of 18 or 19?
18. I joined the teen program at 18. And then once you turn 21, you graduate over to the regular adult version of the club. So I've been a part of the Magic Castle since then. And it's been near and dear to my heart ever since. And, of course, there's big news about it. That is shocking. So I'll tell you that news and how I found out in the first place, which is pretty fun.
All right. We got to take another break, everyone, and we'll come back with some weather and then continue our conversation right here on WCCO. Welcome back, everyone. Oh, yeah. Here's a song that'll uplift you before you have to go to bed. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. Of course, this is the Mom and Michael Hour, my son, Michael Battle, joining us. And of course, we have to talk about the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. So, well, yeah, I'll start if you don't mind. The Magic Castle, a private club for magicians in Hollywood, initially started in the 60s, as you mentioned before. I was very fortunate to audition when I was a teenager and got in for stage magic. It has always been the paradigm of magic craft. Every magician, young magician around the country, if not the world, knows about this place and dreams of being a part of this and performing there at some point in your career because it's the place to be. And it's an old Victorian mansion in the hills of Hollywood, right behind where the Oscars happened. And it was converted over into a club by the Larson brothers, who leased out the space from the Glover family, who actually owns the house itself. To give you a little bit more history, the house was built in the 1920s, but was a private residence for quite some time until the Larson brothers converted it over into this club. You get all dressed up. Men wear suits and ties and dress shoes. Ladies in dresses or pantsuits. Very, very, very strict dress code to go in there. You eat dinner in the main dining area, and you see magic shows in the various showrooms. Three scheduled shows, the big show, the medium-sized show, and then the close-up magic show. And then there are also impromptu performances happening throughout the castle. It's a very winding, intricate interior of this place. I mean, it's three times larger on the inside than it looks on the outside. So the building itself, in a way, is an illusion. All of that said, as I mentioned earlier, the Larson brothers had a pact, if you will, with the Glover family who owned the property, leasing the property to have the Academy of Magical Arts. They owned Larson's owned the rights to the Academy of Magical Arts and the Magic Castle name itself, and they ran the club, but they didn't actually own the property. The huge issue that everyone at the castle has been worried about for the past couple of years and that the board has really been focusing on is that the lease, the long-term lease that was set in place by the Glovers and the Larsons was about to come up in a few years. And that piece of property and its very, very large parking lot and also the Magic Castle Hotel, which is attached to the property, is now worth extraordinary amounts of money because it is in a prime corner of Hollywood. As I mentioned, it's by where the Oscars happen, Hollywood, the main drag of Hollywood, where the main tourist area. You could profit more off of that property as a parking structure, as an apartment complex, as, you know, it is a very valuable corner. So with the lease coming up, the concern was, how is the Academy of Magical Arts, how is the Magic Castle, the club, going to pay the potentially increased lease payments that might happen if once the lease is up and we try to renew? Obviously, those of us who are members have to pay dues, but even with our dues payments going up, even with the decent amount of revenue the castle gets from all of those coming in, eating and drinking, and of course, we invite guests to the Magic Castle, and our guests are the main people who are supporting the food and drink there. Even with all that revenue coming in on this substantially sized business, it wouldn't be enough to sustain a major hit on the lease. I could go on and on about the inner details and the politics and the ideas being floated about how to solve this problem, but we had our annual meeting a few weeks ago, and they were going to announce who the new board was, and that board was then going to have to figure out how to fix this big issue. And there was kind of a kerfuffle and a delay. And then they invited a guy up on stage named Randy Pitchford. Randy's been a member of the Magic Castle for quite some time. He's the CEO and co-founder of Gearbox Entertainment, which makes PC games. I forget the video game he made that was so famous, but he made several famous video games with Gearbox Entertainment. He's a descendant of Cardini, who's a very famous magician in magic history. He's known the Larson family for quite some time, and he is extraordinarily wealthy. And he gets up on stage in what was a rather rambling, non-precise speech, and finally gets to the point, as I am right now. He bought the Magic Castle.
He bought the Magic Castle. Wow. How about that?
Thing. And to give you some perspective, the numbers on this were not released. I have zero confirmation of how much he actually spent, how much it's worth. I have no details of what this deal was. But with my understanding of L.A. property, all the context I mentioned before of what that is, I can't imagine it sold for anything less than $50 million to give you some perspective of how much this was. Some people say, oh, it would have been 80 to 100 million. Some people say it would have been 30 or 40 million. Either way, it was a massive purchase. And for the first time in the history of the Magic Castle, it is owned outright by one individual. And that one individual is a member. So like the club itself now owns the property. So there goes that problem. There's a new owner in town. He's going to work with the Larsons to keep the club going, to preserve it, to make sure that it stays in Los Angeles, stays in that location, that will have it for years to come.
There are some really ticked off people who wanted to buy that building. Because, oh, by the way, the new owner is the founder of video game maker Gearbox Entertainment.
Gearbox Entertainment, yes.
Right. And of course, you've been calling the Magic Castle the house. And it's a mansion. It's gigantic, as far as I remember. So is it as big as I remember, Michael, or no?
I mean, not compared to the mega mansions in L.A. It was huge for the 20s when it was built. It was quite the property back then. And yes, it can hold a decent amount of people. But because of the way it's structured inside and because of all the winding pathways and secret passageways,
right,
it never feels really, really large. It always feels like a very intimate space.
Even though it
has a significant square footage.
Isn't it three? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
You were talking about some of the games that Gearbox Entertainment has made, a couple of them that people might know by name, especially if you're gamers. One of the originals, Duke Nukem, back in the 90s. Half-Life, which was a huge, huge game in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember that. When I was in college, that was a huge, huge game title. Also, they did a 007 title. They did a Tony Hawk skating game, Borderlands, which has become a pretty decent title. So they've done some
really big,
some pretty big names.
Yes, and all that success over all those years with Randy Pitchford and his partners has allowed him the resources to do this, to do the thing that, frankly, I had always dreamed of doing. I'll just put that out there. I had always thought, man, how cool would that be if I could be so successful that one day I just bought the whole thing. When I first heard wind of this challenge, of them saying, hey, you know, how are we going to sustain this place in the future? I thought, oh, that'd be so cool to win the lottery and just buy the whole thing. But he beat me to it because he has the money now and he made it happen. So we'll see how this all pans out. But, you know, for now, this is great news. It preserves the castle. As I mentioned, it saves the Magic Castle. It removes this enormous challenge and pain point from our proceedings there. And again, it preserves one of my favorite places in Los Angeles.
And Michael, here's the thing. One thing I remember very clearly when we were living out there, and even the years I've been there to visit, I've been to the Magic Castle many times, and I am just blown away at how few of the magicians are people of color. What was the woman's name, young woman, when you were there in the junior? She was also in the junior. She did the yo-yos and that sort of thing.
Ferris,
and how is she? I know she was in college. I don't know where she is today, but is she still doing magic?
I don't think she does magic that much. You know, she became a lawyer. Actually, she went to law school. She got married. I think she may have had her first child. So, but she was fantastic. And yeah, there weren't that
she
many.
Was.
And there are more now, thankfully. There are more people of color. There are more women who are part of the Magic Castle. There are younger people who are getting interested in this and who are diversifying that world. And the Magic Castle has had some challenges. I've spoken to that here before with you. During the pandemic, there were some scathing articles that came out about the sexism and racism that have happened at the Magic Castle, that have been covered up at the Magic Castle. But they've done a really, really for decades, but they've done a good job since then of riding their way. They fired the old GM. They have a new GM now. He's fantastic. I just was speaking to him over the weekend. They're really trying to become the Magic Castle of the future. And of course, now that they have a permanent home, I'm all the more encouraged that they can build a place that is welcoming to everyone here in Hollywood.
Would you say that the most notable African-American magician that was often at the Magic Castle was Goldfinger? Jack Goldfinger.
Absolutely. Goldfinger and Dove, they are a famous act who, you know, really hit the scene in the 60s and 70s. And as you mentioned, Jack Goldfinger, he and his wife, you know, Dove. But yes, he was one of the first African-American magicians to become famous on television. There were African-American magicians who had some prominence in the early vaudeville scene. Of course, they only played certain theaters in the country, but I don't want to discount the history of black magicians in America. But in terms of more modern magic on television and using that medium to become more of a household name, Jack Goldfinger is it. Yes, he's the guy. He's the person I had seen on World's Greatest Magic in the 90s. He's the person I had read about in magic books as a kid, a person I was so excited to meet when I got here. And currently, he doesn't perform that often anymore, but he is in charge of the magic bookings at the Magic Castle. So any performer you see there, he is in charge of booking them and acquiring, you know, the best performers in the world to come perform there. So he's still involved every day at the Magic Castle, and he is beloved in our community.
All right, Michael, we have to take a break. We have a few more minutes to expound on what we believe and see and think about. And I want to hear about what you are thinking about today. Literally, what are you looking forward to? And so we'll come back in just a moment to address that question. It is now 10:51 here at WCCO. My goodness, how we've had such a great time tonight. Our guests have done a great job, and I'm so excited to have my son back on. I know sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Most times he's there, and I'm so appreciative of it. Okay, Michael, that last question for tonight, and we only have a few minutes. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to this summer. I mean, I think what young people used to say, like hot girl summer, hot boy summer, meaning that you're going to have a summer so fabulous. You're going to be out doing the great things, showing off your summer body, partying. And that was very much what was happening leading.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, yeah. Here's a song that'll uplift you before you have to go to bed. I love this song. Welcome back, everyone. Of course, this is the Mom and Michael Hour, my son, Michael Battle, joining us. And of course, we have to talk about the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. So, I'll start if you don't mind. The Magic Castle, a private club for magicians in Hollywood, initially started in the 60s. As you mentioned before, I was very fortunate to audition when I was a teenager and got in for stage magic. It has always been the paradigm of magic craft, Every magician, young magician around the country, if not the world, knows about this place and dreams of being a part of this and performing there at some point in your career, because it's the place to be. And it's an old Victorian mansion in the hills of Hollywood, right behind where the Oscars happen. And it was converted over into a club by the Larson brothers, who leased out the space from the Glover family, who actually owned the house itself. To give you a little bit more history, the house was built in the 1920s, but was a private residence for quite some time until the Larson brothers converted it over into this club. You get all dressed up. Men wear suits and ties and dress shoes. Ladies in dresses or pantsuits. Very, very, very strict dress code to go in there. You eat dinner in the main dining area, and you see magic shows in the various showrooms. Three scheduled shows: the big show, the medium-sized show, and then the close-up magic show. And then there are also impromptu performances happening throughout the castle. It's a very winding, intricate interior of this place. I mean, it's three times larger on the inside than it looks on the outside. So the building itself, in a way, is an illusion. All of that said, as I mentioned earlier, the Larson brothers had a pact, if you will, with the Glover family, who owned the property, leasing the property to have the Academy of Magical Arts. They owned Larsons owned the rights to the Academy of Magical Arts and the Magic Castle name itself, and they ran the club, but they didn't actually own the property. The huge issue that everyone at the castle has been worried about for the past couple of years, and that the board has really been focusing on, is that the lease, the long-term lease that was set in place by the Glovers and the Larsons, was about to come up in a few years. And that piece of property and its very, very large parking lot, and also the Magic Castle Hotel, which is attached to the property, is now worth extraordinary amounts of money because it is in a prime corner of Hollywood. As I mentioned, it's by where the Oscars happen, Hollywood, the main drag of Hollywood, where the main tourist area. You could profit more off of that property as a parking structure, as an apartment complex. That's, you know, it is a very valuable corner. So with the lease coming up, the concern was, how is the Academy of Magical Arts, how is the Magic Castle, the club, going to pay the potentially increased lease payments that might happen if once the lease is up and we try to renew? Obviously, those of us who are members have to pay dues, but even with our dues payments going up, even with the decent amount of revenue the castle gets from all of those coming in, eating and drinking, and of course, we invite guests to the Magic Castle, and our guests are the main people who are supporting the food and drink there. Even with all that revenue coming in on this substantially sized business, it wouldn't be enough to sustain a major hit on the lease. I could go on and on about the inner details and the politics and the ideas being floated about how to solve this problem, but we had our annual meeting a few weeks ago, and they were going to announce who the new board was, and that board was then going to have to figure out how to fix this big issue. And there was kind of a kerfuffle and a delay. And then they invited a guy up on stage named Randy Pitchford. Randy's been a member of the Magic Castle for quite some time. He's the CEO and co-founder of Gearbox Entertainment, which makes PC games. I forget the video game he made that was so famous, but he made several famous video games with Gearbox Entertainment. He's a descendant of Cardini, who's a very famous magician in magic history. He's known the Larson family for quite some time, and he is extraordinarily wealthy. And he gets up on stage in what was a rather rambling, non-precise speech, and finally gets to the point, as I am right now. He bought the Magic Castle.
He bought the Magic Castle. Wow. How about that?
Thing. And to give you some perspective, the numbers on this were not released. I have zero confirmation of how much he actually spent, how much it's worth. I have no details of what this deal was. But with my understanding of L.A. property, all the context I mentioned before of what that is, I can't imagine it sold for anything less than $50 million. To give you some perspective of how much this was. Some people say, it would have been 80 to 100 million. Some people say it would have been 30 or 40 million. Either way, it was a massive purchase. And for the first time in the history of the Magic Castle, it is owned outright by one individual, and that one individual is a member. So like the club itself now owns the property. So there goes that problem. There's a new owner in town. He's going to work with the Larsons to keep the club going, to preserve it, to make sure that it stays in Los Angeles, stays in that location, that will have it for years to come.
There are some really ticked off people who wanted to buy that building. Because, oh, by the way, the new owner is the founder of video game maker Gearbox Entertainment.
Gearbox Entertainment, yes.
Right. And of course, you've been calling the Magic Castle the house. And it's a mansion. It's gigantic, as far as I remember. So is it as big as I remember, Michael, or no?
I mean, not compared to the mega mansions in L.A. It was huge for the 20s when it was built. It was quite the property back then. And yes, it can hold a decent amount of people. But because of the way it's structured inside and because of all the winding pathways and secret passageways,
right,
it never feels really, really large. It always feels like a very intimate space, even though it has a significant square footage.
It's like three, isn't it? Three. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I was going to, you were talking about some of the games that Gearbox Entertainment has made, a couple of them that people might know by name, especially if you're gamers. One of the originals, Duke Nukem, back in the 90s. Half-Life, which was a huge, huge game in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember that. When I was in college, that was a huge, huge game title. Also, they did a 007 title. They did a Tony Hawk skating game, Borderlands, which has become a pretty decent title. So they've done some
really big,
some pretty big names.
Yes, and all that success over all those years with Randy Pitchford and his partners has allowed him the resources to do this, to do the thing that, frankly, I had always dreamed of doing. I'll just put that out there. I had always thought, man, how cool would that be if I could be so successful that one day I just bought the whole thing. When I first heard wind of this challenge, of them saying, hey, you know, how are we going to sustain this place in the future? I thought, oh, that'd be so cool to win the lottery and just buy the whole thing. But he beat me to it because he has the money now and he made it happen. So we'll see how this all pans out. But, you know, for now, this is great. Great news. It preserves the castle. As I mentioned, it saves the Magic Castle. It removes this enormous challenge and pain point from our proceedings there. And again, it preserves one of my favorite places in Los Angeles.
And Michael, here's the thing. One thing I remember very clearly when we were living out there, and even the years I've been there to visit, I've been to the Magic Castle many times, and I am just blown away at how few of the magicians are people of color. What was the woman's name, young woman, when you were there in the junior? She was also in the junior. She did the yo-yos and that sort of thing.
Ferris,
and how is she? I know she was in college. I don't know where she is today, but is she still doing magic?
I don't think she does magic that much. You know, she became a lawyer. Actually, she went to law school. She got married. I think she may have had her first child. So, but she was fantastic. And, yeah, there weren't that
she
many.
She was.
There are more now, thankfully. There are more people of color. There are more women who are part of the Magic Castle. There are younger people who are getting interested in this and who are diversifying that world. And the Magic Castle has had some challenges. I've spoken to that here before with you. During the pandemic, there were some scathing articles that came out about the sexism and racism that have happened at the Magic Castle, that have been covered up at the Magic Castle. But they've
decades.
Done a really, really for decades, and but they've done a good job since then of riding their way. They fired the old GM. They have a new GM now. He's fantastic. I just was speaking to him over the weekend. They're really trying to become the Magic Castle of the future. And of course, now that they have a permanent home, I'm all the more encouraged that they can build a place that is welcoming to everyone here in Hollywood.
Would you say that the most notable African-American magician that was often at the Magic Castle was Goldfinger, Jack Goldfinger?
Absolutely. Goldfinger and Dove, they are a famous act who, you know, really hit the scene in the 60s and 70s. And as you mentioned, Jack Goldfinger, he and his wife, you know, Dove. But yes, he was one of the first African-American magicians to become famous on television. There were African-American magicians who had some prominence in the early vaudeville scene. Of course, they only play certain theaters in the country, but I don't want to discount the history of black magicians in America. But in terms of more modern magic on television and using that medium to become more of a household name, Jack Goldfinger is it. Yes, he's the guy. He's the person I had seen on World's Greatest Magic in the 90s. He's the person I had read about in magic books as a kid, a person I was so excited to meet when I got here. And currently, he doesn't perform that often anymore, but he is in charge of the magic bookings at the Magic Castle. So any performer you see there, he was in charge of booking them and acquiring, the best performers in the world to come perform there. So he's still involved every day at the Magic Castle, and he is beloved in our community.
All right, Michael, we have to take a break. We have a few more minutes to expound on what we believe and see and think about. And I want to hear about what you are thinking about today. Literally, what are you looking forward to? And so we'll come back in just a moment to address that question. It is now 10:51 here at WCCO. My goodness, how we've had such a great time tonight. Our guests have done a great job, and I'm so excited to have my son back on. I know sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Most times he's there, and I'm so appreciative of it. Okay, Michael, that last question for tonight, and we only have a few minutes. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to this summer. I mean, I think what young people used to say, like hot girl summer, hot boy summer, meaning that you're going to have a summer so fabulous. You're going to be out doing the great things, showing off your summer body, partying. And that was very much what was happening leading into COVID hitting, and then it canceled all of that. And then we kept trying to have that, 2021. We were like, hot girl summer, we're going to be out there doing this. And then I was like, no, things aren't really open in L.A. So as I've been mentioning week over week, the vibe here in L.A., is just like, maybe this time, maybe 2022 will be the return of Hot Boy Summer, Hot Girl Summer. We're going to be out here. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to community again and being out and meeting people. I was just at lunch on Saturday, and I met, there was two older women. Two women were in, their 50s, and two others were in their late 70s. And I was there with Joey, and they just fell in love with us, and just random people. And we were hanging out, learning about them and their kids and their lives, and having lunch and ordering drinks in the middle of the day on a Saturday at a store in Beverly Hills. I miss that part where people are just so excited to reconnect, and not in a pretentious L.A. way and talk about, what do you do? What are you wearing? Really talk about your past, your family, what you love, how you're feeling today. That's been lost in this city for so long, and that it is coming back this strong and this widespread. I am just looking forward to more of that all summer long.
And that's amazing, because so many people are talking about just that. And I agree. I think the country, if not the world, has found a different place. That whole, acting like you're so hoity-toity and, I know so much more and I look better and I have so much more money. It just doesn't have a place in COVID time. It's still out there.
At the restaurant, please. She's the only one in LA.
You haven't got on the. Oh, come on.
Do
I thought you were
know
over
who
there.
I am?
She didn't know. We're out here trying to be, lovely and loving. And she's like, no, we're busy. We couldn't
We're full. We're so full. And 20 tables open. That's so. You should have said, you should have asked for the manager, because she wasn't the manager.
I didn't need to, because I was in the system. That spoke volume.
Yeah, but she still didn't put you at a table. She still didn't put you at a table. That's a problem.
She didn't, but that's right. Yeah. That's okay, because now I'm further in the system. So next time I'll ask for someone else. But you know what? I was there to have fun and to eat and to meet people.
And you did.
And that's what we did.
That's what you did. Now, Michael, I will ask or say this to remind you that many of us say, oh, I can't wait for June to get here, right? Because June is the hot month. It's just going to be warm and beautiful and sunshiny and oh, my goodness. However, the summer solstice actually happens in June 21st. And that's when the clock gets shorter. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to remind people of that because so many people want it to come so bad. It's almost as though May gets ignored, right? It's like, oh, hurry up, May, just move on. We're trying to get to June. But June 21st, that's when all of a sudden the sun doesn't set so late anymore. And before you know it, it'll be September, October, and all of a sudden the sun is setting at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. So I'm just reminding people, you talk about you want to get to June, just remind you that all of a sudden the days get shorter on June 21st and go forward.
Well, Mom, I wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it now. It was 85 degrees today, so we are out there experiencing summer right now.
85
it's happening
sunny,
right now. It was
sunny.
85.
Gerilyn, that's what you get for being a buzzkill. You're a buzzkill right now. Buzz
shut
kill.
Up, Jonathan. Yes, shut up.
That's true. She was like, don't be happy too long because winter's around the corner.
No, the reason I had to say it tonight, Michael, because I thought about it this morning and I was like, oh my God, Gerilyn, stop trying to get to June. Get to today. True. Get to this moment. This moment.
That's right.
And make it as great that's as right. it can be. There you
get
go.
To this moment, get to L.A., because that's where it's warm. It's summer right now.
I don't care what day it is. Get to 70. Get to 70. Yeah.
My birthday is coming up, Jonathan. I've been trying to get there on my birthday, and then more things happen. But, Michael, I'm coming sometime in June, okay?
I love it. I can't wait to see you, and I love you.
I love you too, son. Tell Joey I love him too.
I will.
Thank you all, and good night. Take care of you, okay? Take care of you. Jonathan, thank you. Thank you so much. Good night. It is now 10:51 here at WCCO. My goodness, how we've had such a great time tonight. Our guests have done a great job, and I'm so excited to have my son back on. I know sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Most times he's there, and I'm so appreciative of it. Okay, Michael, that last question for tonight, and we only have a few minutes. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to this summer. I mean, I think what young people used to say, like hot girl summer, hot boy summer, meaning that you're going to have a summer so fabulous. You're going to be out doing the great things, showing off your summer body, partying. And that was very much what was happening leading into COVID hitting, and then it canceled all of that. And then we kept trying to have that, you know, 2021. We were like, hot girl summer, we're going to be out there doing this. And then I was like, no, things aren't really open in L.A. So as I've been mentioning week over week, the vibe here in LA is just like maybe this time, maybe 2022 will be the return of hot boy summer, hot girl summer. We're going to be out here, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to community again and being out and meeting people. I was just at lunch on Saturday, and I met there was two older women, two women were in like their 50s, and two others were in their late 70s. And I was there with Joey, and they just fell in love with us, and just random people. And we were hanging out, learning about them and their kids and their lives, and having lunch and ordering drinks in the middle of the day on a Saturday at a store in Beverly Hills. I miss that part where people are just so excited to reconnect, and not in a pretentious L.A. way and talk about what do you do, what are you wearing. Really talk about your past, your family, what you love, how you're feeling today. That's been lost in this city for so long, and that it is coming back this strong and this widespread. I'm just looking forward to more of that all summer long.
And that's amazing because so many people are talking about just that. And I agree. I think the country, if not the world, has found a different place. You know, that whole, you know, acting like you're so hoity-toity and, you know, oh, I know so much more and I look better and I have so much more money. It just doesn't have a place in COVID time. And I'm sure it's still out there.
At the restaurant, please. She's the only one in LA.
You haven't got on the. Oh, come on.
Do
I thought you were over
who
there.
I am?
She didn't know. We're out here trying to be, you know, lovely and loving. And she's like, no, no, we're busy. We couldn't
we're full. We're so full. And 20 tables open. That's so. You should have said, open. You should have asked for the manager because she wasn't the manager.
I didn't need to because I was in the system. That spoke volumes.
Yeah, but she still didn't put you at a table. She still didn't put you at a table. That's a problem.
She didn't, but that's right. Yeah. That's okay, because now I'm further in the system. So next time, I'll you know, ask for someone else. But you know what? I was there to have fun and to eat and to meet people.
And you did.
And that's what we did.
That's what you did. Now, Michael, I will ask or say this to remind you that many of us say, oh, I can't wait for June to get here, right? Because June is the hot month. You know, it's just going to be warm and beautiful and sunshiny and oh, my goodness. However, the summer solstice actually happens in June, June 21st. And that's when the clock gets shorter. Okay. So I have to remind people of that because so many people want it to come so bad. It's almost as though May gets ignored, right? It's like, oh, hurry up, May, just move on. We're trying to get to June. But June 21st, that's when all of a sudden the sun doesn't set so late anymore. And before you know it, it'll be September, October, and all of a sudden the sun is setting at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. So I'm just reminding people, you talk about you want to get to June, just remind you that all of a sudden the days get shorter on June 21st and go forward.
Well, Mom, I wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it now. It was 85 degrees today, so we are out there experiencing summer right now.
85
it's happening
sunny,
right now. It was
sunny.
85.
Gerilyn, that's what you get for being a buzzkill. You're a buzzkill right now.
Shut up, Jonathan.
Yes,
shut up.
That's true. She was like, don't be happy too long because the winter's around the corner.
No, the reason I had to say it tonight, Michael, because I thought about it this morning and I was like, oh my God, Gerilyn, stop trying to get to June. Get to today.
True.
Get to this moment. This moment.
That's right.
And make it as great as it can be. There you
get
go.
To this moment, get to L.A., because that's where it's warm. It's summer right now.
I don't care what day it is. Get to 70. Get to 70.
Yeah. My birthday is coming up, Jonathan. I've been trying to get there on my birthday, and then more things happen. But, Michael, I'm coming sometime in June, okay?
I love it. I can't wait to see you, and I love you.
I love you too, son. Tell Joey I love him too.
I will.
Thank you all, and good night. Take care of you, okay? Take care of you. Jonathan, thank you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.